They're back. My two superstar clients, Alan Lazarus and Kevin Palmieri, join me on Office Hours for a live coaching session. As always, today's episode is packed with value, and the three of us are going to discuss bringing happiness to others and what does it mean to work hard. Let me know your favorite part of today's episode and join me on my text community at 949-298-2905 or email me david@dmeltzer.com.
This is Entrepreneurs the Playbook.
Join here my two star pupils. There they are. All right, boys, we got until 8 o'clock, so 23 minutes. I know you're as time conscious as I am. Let's go rapid fire. It's a warm up for BYOQ. You bring the questions, I'll bring the answers.
All right, so first question. You'll hear a lot of people say they want to either be the best in the world at something, or some people want to be really good at a bunch of things. Do you think that you should try to be the best at one thing and then branch out after, or try to acquire skills along the way? Part one. Part two, what does Dave Meltzer want to be the best in the world at?
All right, first of all, question number one. The answer is both. Now, I know people are going, how can I do both? Well, if you take inventory of your values and you prioritize your potential, right? And we knock off the top one potential and we figure out a system in order which to enjoy the consistent, persistent pursuit of my potential of being a football player, my potential of being a father. And we can keep adding more and more potentials on as we become efficient, effective, and statistically successful in enjoying the consistent, persistent pursuit of each of those potentials. And it aggregates with segmentation, acceleration, and growth. Pretty soon, people see that you actually are close to a lot of different potentials in your life. The one nuance that applies to both question number one and number two is you should not want to be the best in the world. You want to be the best in your world, right? Your world is everybody's world. And so the world benefits, and so will you, if you pursue your own potential. And if it's just one thing, if you want to have clarity, balance, and focus that will put you into the flow, clear the interference and corrosion to that which you're connected to according to that potential, because that potential lies in the infinity, it already exists. We need to allow it to happen by utilizing the law of Goya, getting off your ass, putting things into motion by practicing, taking inventory of your values, asking and attracting, student your calendar, do it now, practicing ending fear. But that will allow it to come more rapidly and accurately. And what does Dave Meltzer right now, his potential? For me, my potential that I want for me in my world is I have the potential to change the world with an unconscious competency of happiness. I want to reach my potential of my ability to impact 1,000 people like you, Kevin, 1,000 people like you, Alan, in order to truly empower you so that you can effectively empower 1,000 more people to empower 1,000 more people. Because in my lifetime, in my world, if I can literally empower over 1 billion people to be happy, the collective consciousness, the hyper consciousness, will exponentially change the entire illusion or the entire perspective or the entire projection or the entire materialization in which we all live in this pragmatic world. We will expand and accelerate beyond our wildest dreams if we all seek our own potential in our own world.
Dave, so you mentioned happiness and empowering others to be happy. So I gave a talk recently. It's called Peak Performance and How to Live a World-Class Life. And the very first framework is understanding what we're after and what happiness really is. There's that John Lennon story of, like, you know, what do you want to be when you grow up? And he says, happy. And the teacher says, you don't understand the assignment. And he says, you don't understand life. The thing is, I believe the pursuit of happiness is a very, very good thing, both in the moment, but also the pursuit of it. But do we fully understand how on this human condition to actually get it? So I use a framework of basically pleasure, joy, and fulfillment. And so, you know, joy is being in the moment, enjoying what you do. Pleasure is if this goes well, then I'll be happy, dopamine hit. Fulfillment happens when you grow and contribute. That's my framework. Feel free to poke holes in it. What is your perspective on what happiness really is, and how do people design their life around it?
Well, I'm blessed to have a friend named Chris Gardner, who they made the movie Pursuit of Happiness about. And I always tease him that there is no pursuit of happiness, that happiness is the pursuit, the pleasure, the joy, The profitability, the passion, the purpose, all are in the process of pursuit. Jim Quick's going to love me for all those P alliterations, but truly, if you can shift your paradigm into pursuing and enjoying pursuit and acknowledging and remembering how much you enjoy the pursuit, there will be fulfillment. And let me explain fulfillment to both of you, because I'm going to give you one of these. So, you know, make sure you give me that wow at the end that I love from you. So here we go. When you pursue, when you enjoy the consistent, everyday, persistent, without quit, pursuit of your potential, you will create acceleration and growth, exponential growth and increased acceleration. Do you follow me and agree with that?
Yes.
Okay. By doing so then, by enjoying the consistent, persistent pursuit of your potential, the universe expands. When something expands, it creates a vacuum. Okay, you understand, right? If you expand it, it creates a vacuum, right? Think about water. We expand the container, the water falls into the vacuum. It's a force of what? Now, where people fall down, Alan and Kevin, in what you do is that we get the pursuit part. But where people fall down is they're not prepared for the vacuum. They're not prepared for what it is they want to fill that with. You talked about fulfillment. You could talk about joy and pleasure, but the fulfillment part allows you to what? Not only expand, but fulfill yourself with more of what you want. And the only way we do that is we have to have clarity, balance, and focus to create that ask. And you can't out-ask the universe. And we need to ask and be clear on what we want, because when we create the vacuum, most people fill it with what they don't want or what other people want for them. And then they wonder why they're not fulfilled and why they have a whole bunch of stuff in their life that they don't want. I'll tell you why. Because you created the vacuum, but you forgot to fill it with what you wanted. So I want you guys to focus in on, you're really good at expanding. You're really good at creating the vacuum. Now let's take the next step and really get clear, balanced, and focus on how we're going to be fulfilled, what we're going to put into that vacuum as whole. So as we expand, it's more and more of what we want through the conscious, subconscious, and even changing our frequency as the matter itself of the vacuum, the matter of our expansion, the matter of this increase is what we want.
Fire. Wow, fire.
You have a follow-up, yeah.
Yeah, thank you, man. Yeah. He knew. So when you walk into a room, Dave, you mentioned that story of I walked into a room and I wasn't in a good energetic state and no one looked up, right? Then I went back down the driveway and I got back in my frequency and then I came in and everyone said, "Hey, Dave, how's it going?" Can you explain that to us and how to identify when we're walking into rooms where we're not at our fulfilled potential? And what are some practical tips about, so obviously there's physical, right? So there's some people that are emotionally unhealthy, but physically healthy. There's some people that are physically unhealthy, but emotionally unhealthy. So how do we make sure that we're fulfilled from a practical standpoint so that when we enter a room, we're raising the vibration?
Number one, you are a satellite, right? You are a transmitter. So I love radio stations because I think visually it puts things into the construct of what we are. We're sending out a signal. We're sending out a signal, and some radio signals go to multiple stations. Some radio signals cover the entire country. Some just their local city, right? So you have to think of yourself as that radio satellite, that radio antenna. You are a transmitter. And so if we can elevate our awareness of what we're transmitting consciously by what we think, say, do, and hear, subconsciously by what we believe, and unconsciously by the energy that we carry, the quantum feeling that we give. And the more in touch you can have and be within the context of all three consciousnesses, all three sub antennae within the great transmitter that you are, when we can raise our awareness to understand each of those, we now can understand how and what we attract to ourselves, how and what are tuning in to what we are trying to transmit: love, information, inspiration, motivation, transition, vision, whatever it may be, kindness. Or are you transmitting fear, anxiety, separateness, worthiness? What are you transmitting? And I think when we start putting ourselves into the context of the radio transmitter, we really can get a feel and make a practice of transmitting what we want and attracting what we want. And when we have and keep attracting things we don't want, we got to change the station, change the transmission. If you keep thinking, saying, and doing and believing all the right things, but somehow the same stuff keeps getting attracted into your life, you know your frequency is sending to the wrong channels. So go ahead and change your frequency so that you can change the channel that people tune in on. And a different type of person's listening to the golf channel than is listening to the MMA channel.
Right.
Big MMA fan over here. So obviously we're talking about awareness. We always talk about awareness. I've been doing coaching recently with early entrepreneurs who lack confidence. And the reason is because I think so many people talk about what you need to learn. You need to learn sales or persuasion or how to close, whatever. But what people don't always talk about is what you have to unlearn, right? Like the limiting beliefs. Can you go into maybe from your perspective what more people have to unlearn, and what have you had to unlearn besides removing the ego? Like, what are some other things that you've had to unlearn over the journey?
Well, I think everything's related to the practice of ending fear. But on the pragmatic side, you know, you mentioned a couple. One, I'd start with worthiness, right? We have to unlearn the fact that we're not worthy, right? That there is scarcity. You know, that's a huge thing, that there's not enough or just enough, depending on where you're at.
Right.
But I think that's a major thing to coach people and to unlearn is, you know, even me, right? I went to Diane Cannon, who I'm blessed to have shared my Lakers seats with, and I told her that I'm going to live to 111 years old, die on January 11th at 1:11 p.m. because I was born on 1:11 at 1:11 p.m. And she looked at me really concerned. And I'm like, well, what's the matter, Diane? She goes, why are you limiting yourself? And in my mind, I had taken pride for multiple decades of telling people how long I'd live, that I'm born into a genetic family of turtles that end up with, you know, bald and hunched over, but live a long time. You know, my grandpa died at 97 and his older sister was 104 crying. And I'm like, Aunt Sophie, what's the matter? She goes, he died so young. But meanwhile, in her mind, at 84, who understood that I had to unwind and unlearn a limitation that I can't even fathom infinity. And so if we can teach people to unwind things in the contents of infinity, time, emotion, numbers, you know, all the different things that we do to ourselves, amounts, right? It drives me crazy. Oh, I'll be happy when I make $1 million. All I need to do is raise this much money. What are you doing? No. At minimums, talk in minimums. We live in a world of more than enough of everything for everyone. All it takes is one touch of favor to receive more than we've ever dreamed of. And there is so many people that have been able to live into that flow and attract that into their lives that we see. We need to be one of those people.
The touch of favor you just mentioned. And Dave, I've been thinking about this a lot because we work really hard and our main focus really is the consistent, persistent pursuit of our potential. And I mean that in terms of like the mastery of our craft, the adding value to others, the impact. And I think that we're learning that to run a business, we have to focus a little bit more on money and make sure we're profitable and things like that. But one thing that I've been thinking a lot about recently is what is it going to feel? I have overwhelming moments of gratitude from time to time, like overwhelming, like inexplicable, like, oh my God, this is my life. I can't believe this happened, whatever this thing is. What is one of those for you where what came to you was beyond what you'd ever even dreamed of, that was maybe a byproduct of this other thing you were pursuing, or it could be money, it could be family, it could be impact, whatever it is, just overwhelming moment of gratitude?
Yeah, I'm going to answer that. And I have so multiple things, and from, you know, working at Lee Steinberg, you know, in 48 hours of meeting him, getting that job, to having Warren Moon as my business partner for over a decade and great friend. Like, there's so many different things, but I need to address one issue with you guys. Working hard, right? We just talked about limiting ourselves. What does that mean? You know, I'd like to ask you guys real quickly, what does working hard mean to you?
I think for me, it's trying to better my best every day, trying to be a little bit better in terms of.
Why is that hard though? Why is that hard?
True.
I'm just asking. All right. What about my man?
What is working hard? I would say it comes down to being what I must be. And I'm not just saying that. I literally don't.
But why is that hard?
I don't know when I'm letting myself down.
Why is that hard, right? So I think one of the most common things that I get from my employees, my family, my friends is I work so hard. It's bullshit. You don't work hard. If things may occur that are hard on you, but you're not working hard, right? You're not working hard. You're working long hours, right? You're working, you know, efficiently, effectively. You're working with statistical success. You work focused. Pain happens. And all of a sudden we tell people that we work hard. No, hard happens to you. And I want you guys to think about that because you have so much potential and you got to shift that limitation that I'm a hard worker. No, you're not. You're a happy worker. And there is no work. You're a happy activity person and makes money from activity you get paid for. Right? We don't. Why make it so hard? Why? It may be hard on you. Some things may be hard on you, but you enjoy that, right? We enjoy the accomplishment of doing that. So I really want you to think about that as homework. How many times you're like, man, I work hard. Because that just causes you to have a need to be offended and a need to be resentful, to make comparisons to others. It's like, oh my gosh, she doesn't even, you know, love me because I work so hard. How many relationships, you know, I can't tell you how many times I've looked at Jill Awesome, my wife, you know, Julie, who's awesome, and said, oh, she doesn't, I work so hard for her. No, I don't. Shit is hard, and I do it for me so I can provide to others. And I'm going to stop lying to myself and, you know, seek something that I don't need, which is other people's appreciation for my accomplishments and my growth and my expansion. You guys don't work hard. Hard shit happens to you, and you guys are capable and love it. We work smart. We work efficient. We work long, right? We work long. And I don't even like the word work. I like to have activity I get paid for, right? But it's not hard. Secondly, here's how I see almost everything in my life. When we talk about the Lee Steinberg experience or the Warren Moon experience or being the CEO of the world's first smartphone or, you know, speaking around the world, getting paid six figures to speak now, right? Like, I can't even imagine. So here's how it is with everything I'm doing. Having Jill Awesome in my life and my four beautiful children and the mom that I have and all these things, right? Today, I'm not where I want to be. I'm happy where I am, but I'm not where I want to be. And I am going to enjoy the consistent, persistent pursuit to angle to where I think I want to be and know with the perspective of faith that I'm going to end up better. I'm going to end up somewhere better. So today I'm happy where I'm at, but I'm not where I want to be. I'm going to angle to where I want to think, where I think I want to be, but I have great confidence in faith that I'm going to end up somewhere better. That's the answer to the question that you had. And I have hundreds of thousands of circumstances and events in my life because of my perspective that fulfill the answer of that.
We talk about we say grateful dissatisfaction, like very happy and blessed with what is, but hungry for more. What do you say to somebody? I feel like most people are on either end of that. They're either totally content with what they have or they're never going to be like excited for anything. How do you talk to somebody and say like, look, it's about the journey more than anything?
Yeah, this blend is a conflictual blend, right? People just can't, they either go in one camp or the other. And it's so difficult to understand a blend of, well, you know, how do you pursue something if you're supposed to be happy? Or, you know, isn't that shortages, voids, and obstacles? Not if you focus in on enjoying the means. So gratitude is a means. Pursuit is a means. Forgiveness is a means. They're not ends. Right. So when you can facilitate gratitude, forgiveness, accountability into the means by which we unwind or clear or pursue, when we can use those as the means, then we're allowing ourselves to be happy through the expansion and be happier in the future with the faith that happiness is directly related to our perspective of how good the future is going to be.
Dave, so when you mentioned hard work to us, and I really appreciate that because I've been working on that reframe for a while, because you're right. I've said I love hard work for a really long time, but I don't know if my definition of that was as refined as I'd like it to be. But here's what I'll say. I'll never forget when I asked my girlfriend, can you grow without challenge? She said, no. I said, can you have challenge without any pain? She said, no. I said, okay, so why are we avoiding the one thing that is necessary for us to grow? So change your relationship to pain. And I remember when you and I first started coaching before Kevin came into the coaching mix here. You
said, yeah, we didn't need him.
Right. You said your relationship to pain needs to change. Can you please describe to everyone, including Kevin and myself, what your relationship is to pain when it comes to the challenge that's required for you to grow and expand?
Yeah. So for me, pain is an indicator. That's all it is. It's an indicator. It's a turn signal on the car telling you, hey, buddy, you got a better direction to go in order to get to a better situation or make your situation better. Mental, physical, spiritual, emotional, financial pain is an indicator that you have a lesson to learn in order to get to a better place. We call those challenges.
Okay.
Right? And those challenges are because what we've created is some sort of interference or corrosion between us and what we think we want. And the next step beyond knowing that there's pain between us and what we think we want is there's not only pain between us and what we think we want, but what we think we want, if we allow the lessons to come, we'll get what we think we want plus, what we think we want times three.
Right.
You know, so many times I see people experience pain and they think it's a stop, right? I think it's a boost. Pain is a boost. Right. It's not when your turn signal goes on, it's not your brakes. Right. Pain is not brakes. It's not stopping you from what you want. It's indicating there's a better way to go. Mm. And you have a lesson to learn. So look at your map. Look at your GPS. Ask for help to those GPSs and maps in your life. In other words, people that sit in the situation that know the roads. OK, you hear me? It's not a brake. It's the turn signal. And when we shift that paradigm of pain into an indicator, that means we just have lessons to learn. And the best place to get those lessons is the maps and the GPSs in our lives that already have the directions to go, as well as all the people and the gas and the resources to go there. We get in our way so much because, number one, people think that pain is a break. Two, they don't look at the map or the GPS. And three, they don't ask the GPS and the map for the resources that they have or to teach them how to read it.
Wow. Fire. Dave, you're fired up in the morning. I like it. We're used to the nights. This is fire. So I believe we have to go. I think we're on the
last question. We got to fill the time.
What is the biggest difference between Dave Meltzer today and Dave Meltzer 10 years ago? Biggest
difference. The degree that I'm radically humble. So I'm not humble as I'd like to be, but the degree in which I have be able to, one, identify the needs of the ego, two, stop, three, drop, and four, roll. To truly be radically humble, to take inventory of my values, ask and attract, do a student in my calendar, doing it now, and practicing ending fear. I am much more radically humble than I am and not where I want to be. I'm going to angle to even more radical humility and hope and pray and have faith that I'll end up even in a better place of radical humility.
How will you know when you get there?
I won't. I don't care. I'm going to enjoy getting to the best place that I can, to the closest of my potential of radical humility. I think if I ever got there, I wouldn't be on this plane. I'd be at a higher vibration, a higher frequency, a higher awareness in some other lifetime or parallel. So, you know, you guys bring the best out in me. Kevin, Alan, both of you are blessings in my life.
Thank you.
You bring out my hyperconsciousness. Check those guys out, the Hyperconscious Podcast. Listen to the playbook. They are a daily highlight. You won't believe how popular you guys are on my podcast. You bring out the best in everyone. Remember, in a couple hours, 11 a.m., 3 hours from now, BYOQ, you can bring some more questions. Encourage all your fans and friends and associates to come to free trainings on Friday. And if not, watch the replay or watch you guys on the podcast, The Playbook. Thank you both so much.
Thank you so much, Dave. We love you.
Hey, podcast listeners, thank you for listening, as always, to today's episode. I know you've been enjoying the Road to Revenue episodes. They are downloading at record paces, and I am so grateful for you joining me, not only on the podcast, but live every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific time, 2 p.m. Eastern. Make sure you email me at david@dmeltzer.com or text me at 949-298-2905. Thank you so much.